Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. 2 Samuel, chapter 7. We'll be there for the majority of the evening. And there, in the 1970s, I kind of promoted this thing with the Sunday school class this morning, but there was a song sung that was put out in the late 70s, I believe, by Gary Wright. And the name of that song was Dream Weaver. Anybody remember that? Great song. And the first line in the lyric of that song says, I've just closed my eyes again, climbed aboard the Dreamweaver train. Driver, take away my worries of today and leave tomorrow behind. Now, Gary Wright was talking about laying down at night and escaping the reality of life in his dreams. And there, you know, there's other kinds of dreams that people have today, such as aspirations and goals and accomplishments, achievements. Some of you may have dreamed as a young... I remember growing up, I wanted to be a professional ball player. And I was on the way to becoming, you know, the next great NFL and NBA player and from Clarksville, Tennessee. That didn't quite pan out. I don't know, but some of you may have had a dream about being a governor, maybe even some type of president or CEO of a company. Everybody has dreams. And sometimes those dreams come about, and sometimes those dreams don't pan out. David was a man like us. He had a lot of dreams. And David had a big dream. And this dream involved giving God a lot of glory and a lot of praise. But it wasn't God's plan for his life. And tonight as we read through chapter 7 of 2 Samuel, I want to tell you, David is at the pinnacle of success. He is he's on top of the world. He's now king of all of Israel. Jerusalem is the capital of his kingdom. The ark of the Lord, as you remember last week, is now back where it's supposed to be in Jerusalem, there in a tent that he'd tabernacle that he'd set up. And it's in its special place of worship. He has rest now from all of his enemies. It's a time of peace. David's approval ratings are sky high. I mean, he is at the zenith of his career as king of Israel. And he's got this dream in his heart and in his mind. And so let's look at that. We see, first of all, David's proposal, chapter 7, verse 1. Are you with me? 2 Samuel chapter 7. Now it came to pass, when the king was dwelling in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies all around, that the king said to Nathan the prophet, see now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells inside tent curtains. Then Nathan said to the king, go, do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you. And so we see David's proposal in this dream. And in these verses, David was evidently at the palace. He's resting. He's not at war. And all of a sudden, a visitor shows up. And y'all remember Nathan the prophet? Nathan was a great man of God, a prophet, great spiritual advisor for King David. Many times during David's reign, Nathan was an invaluable spiritual counselor and mentor. And you know, as I was reading about Nathan, I got to thinking about Billy Graham and how many presidents Billy Graham was an advisor and a spiritual counselor for. It was even said in, I don't know if y'all have read Dr. Graham's book, Just As I Am, but in that book, his autobiography, Billy Graham tells a story of giving President Eisenhower assurance of his salvation just before he died. And sometimes there's an unusual relationship between leaders and government and men of God. And I think the president out there, our president right now has a special relationship with the pastor of First Baptist Dallas, and he's giving him spiritual advice and counsel from time to time. And so this is a quiet time and a peaceful time in the nation, and it's a perfect time for David to sit down with the prophet Nathan and share his dream with him. And so David begins with Nathan something like this. You know, I'm just putting this in my words. Here I am living in this beautiful palace made of cedar wood, overlaid and inlaid with gold, in this beautiful place, and the ark of God is in a tent. And somehow that just doesn't seem quite right. It didn't rest good with Nathan. And so David has a dream to build a what? A temple, that's right, for God. A place of worship, a place where God's people can come and lift up the Lord and give Him praise and honor and glory. And of course, the prophet Nathan, being the preacher, of course, he loves that idea, doesn't he? I mean, how awesome is it that a Baptist preacher would want to hear a church member that say, "Man, we need to start a building fund." I tend to forget y'all are not quite as animated as some of the Sunday morning folks, but I want to tell you, that'd be a blessing for any pastor or preacher to hear. As a matter of fact, there's a couple in our church, and they were talking to me here a while back, and just a few weeks ago, and after the thing with the riverboat didn't quite pan out and work out, they wanted to give some money to start a building fund. And little did they know that our finance team was putting together a building fund, and we've got that going on now. But it really blessed me, and because I talked to them about, why do you want to start a building fund? And they said, well, you know, we worship is fine, and worship is great for this building, right? I mean, we can do three or four worship times on Sunday morning, but the problem that we have, of course, is discipleship and dividing up into groups here on this place. And so, anyways, that really blessed me, and it blessed Nathan to hear that David wanted to build God a great building where the people could all come together and worship. And so Nathan encourages David. Did you see that there in verse 3? Then Nathan said to the king, "Go do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you." And so Nathan is encouraging David in the things of the Lord. And I want to tell you, that's one of the reasons we meet together. To encourage one another. To be a blessing to one another. To stimulate one another. To motivate one another. And hello? Amen. Y'all don't believe me. Let's go to Hebrews 10 real quick. Hebrews 10. 24. Are you there? Hebrews 10:24. And let us. Now who in the world is us? Yeah, that's the people of God. Consider one another. In order to stir up. Now that word stir has its roots in a word that shepherds would use, and kind of like a cat. It was an instrument that had a sharp point on it, and they would prod the sheep with that thing, or the cattle especially, and they would poke that, you know, the rear end of that sheep or that, and what would it would stimulate, motivate that animal to move forward. And that's, yes, that's the word that's being used here, to stir up one another to do what? Love and good works. And so when we meet together, we're to encourage one another and stimulate one another and prod one another and motivate one another to love God more effectively and to love one another more effectively and to do good works. Now your good works will never save you, but if you're saved, you want to do those works which point to the fact that you have been saved. Are y'all with me? And so that's, and if I'm not ever here, can I encourage anybody? Well, it might encourage some folks if I didn't show up, but I, you know, That's what he's saying here. And even in Jesus' day, and even in the New Testament church, people got in the habit of falling out of coming for worship. Is that not amazing? So you see, our hearts, that's the problem. The heart of the problem is the problem of the heart. Oh, that's good. Say that again. But that's the truth. And so, now look, I didn't even read verse 25. Help me, Jesus. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. That's their word, encouraging one another. and so much the more? What does that mean? Yeah. We're to get together, we're to assemble together and encourage one another all the more as we see the day. The day. What day is that? The day of the Lord approaching. And so we're to do that. And I want to tell you, I have never quite seen the church in such dire need of encouragement like it needs today. Would y'all agree with me? I mean, the state that our nation is in and the state of this world is in, we need to encourage one another to stay faithful and encourage each other to stimulate and to motivate us to love one another, to love our community out here and to be a blessing to others and to do good works that will glorify our Father in heaven. And we need to do that all the more, not less. I could park right here and go on a tangent, but I won't. Y'all got my drift? All right. So, it's a blessing to encourage one another. And how many, when I sure hope and pray y'all are encouraged when you leave here. I hope so. I had a guy tell me one time, not here, but in another church, you know, Cal, every time I leave here, I just feel guilty. And I said, really? I said, well, you're talking to a gossip. Tell me what the problem is. No, I didn't say that. But, you know, it's not a bad thing to feel guilty. If you're feeling guilty, that's the Holy Spirit that lives within you, you know, and trying to reach you for that. So you can be encouraging to someone no matter what their state of mind and state of heart is, right? And so we see Nathan encouraging David, said, man, go ahead and do what God's calling you to do. Get with it, brother. And so David, that's David's dream, to build a magnificent temple for the Lord God. He said, here I am living in luxury, and look, where the presence of Almighty God in a tent. So that's his dream. And by the way, I've had people encourage me to follow my dream in my life. If you got some encouragers in your life, and I'm not just saying yes people. Don't surround yourself with just yes people. Surround yourself with people that'll give you the truth, even when you don't want to hear it. We don't think about it that way, but that's an encouragement to us, right? All right, so let's look at David's promise now. Now, later that night, same day, but later that night, Nathan gets a word. Not from David, but from God. And here it is. Let me go back to 2 Samuel, verse 4. But it happened that night that the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, would you build a house for me to dwell in? For I have not dwelt in a house since the time I brought the children of Israel up from Egypt, even to this day, but have moved about in a tent and in a tabernacle. Wherever I have moved about with all the children of Israel, have I ever spoken a word to anyone from the tribes of Israel whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the sheepfold, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel, and I have been with you wherever you've gone, and have cut off all your enemies from before you, and have made you a great name, like the name of the great men who are on the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more, nor shall the sons of wickedness oppress them any more as previously. And so that night, later on, the Lord spoke to Nathan and said, I'm not going to allow David to build me a house. I'm not going to let David build me a temple. And God gave no explanation as to why. And sometimes, you know, it can be your heart's desire to really build something and do something great for God's glory and for God's honor and for God's praise. And God will just say, no. What do you do when that happens? when God says no to your dream. You need to understand that God's ways are infinitely better than our ways. And He's got privy to all the answers. And His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And so sometimes when God says no to your dreams, even though they're going to, in your mind, they're going to bring God great glory and honor, and God says, He's got something better for you. Somebody shout, that's right. He's got something better for you. And so he tells Nathan, I haven't dwelt in a house since the day I brought Israel out of Egypt. I've been moving from place to place with a tent in my dwelling. Now, you remember, this is a beautiful description of how God's presence had always been with the children of Israel. You remember what John 1:14 says? The Word was made flesh and dwelt among them. John says, we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. That word dwell is the word tabernacle. Isn't that good? And you see, that drove the people back, their minds back to how God dwelt with the children of Israel. His presence there over the ark and over the mercy seat between the cherubim. God tabernacled with His people. And John and the other apostles just couldn't quite get over it that Jesus, the very Son of God, God Himself, had come down to this place in the flesh and tabernacled with them. And I guess that's part of what's really gotten me stoked up for when Jesus comes. He's going to dwell with us in those days face to face. Face to face. I had a little boy ask me one time, what does Jesus look like? You know what I told him? I have no idea. You can't put a face on Jesus. Oh, I've seen all these paintings and all that stuff and all that. But I'm just going to wait. And when I see Him, I'll be overwhelmed. Now, so David wanted to build a house for the Lord, but God's not going to let him. So look at verse 11. Since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel and have caused you to rest from all your enemies, that's the end of that sentence. Also, the Lord tells you that He will make you a house. What? God's not going to let David make him a house because God's going to make David a house? Are y'all following this with me now? Remember I said when God says no, He's got something better? Well, that's what's going on here. Look at verse 12. When your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish His kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of His kingdom forever. I'll be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commits iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the blows of the sons of men. But my mercy shall not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I removed from before you. And your house, and your house, and your house, and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever according to all these words and according to all this vision. So Nathan spoke to David. Well, God had told Nathan, not going to let my boy have a building permit. Not going to let him build a house. I'm going to build David a house. Now, is he talking about a material building? No. What's he talking about here? Yes, he's talking about a spiritual dynasty that God would raise up through David's lineage. That's a good word for that. And y'all, verses 12 and 13, this is one of the finest promises in all the Bible. This is an amazing promise. It's a great word of prophecy. It's at the heart of all Old Testament prophecy. It's right there. And this is the promise that God makes to David right here in this chapter. And the immediate reference, of course, is to Solomon, right? But it extends far beyond Solomon. And it goes to the eternal King Jesus. Turn with me to 1 Timothy 1. I love this verse of Scripture. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 17. 1 Timothy 1:17 says, "Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, to be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Jesus Christ is and will be the King of kings who lives forever, and His kingdom will have no end. How appropriate is that for what's going on in our world today? Turn left in your New Testament to Luke. This is a powerful reminder of how this prophecy was fulfilled, how this promise to David was fulfilled in the Lord Jesus. Look at Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, 28 through 33. Now you remember the angel shows up here with Mary. Luke 1, 28 says, "Having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God.'" Now listen to this. "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David." That Old Testament promise to David that God made through the prophet Nathan, determined that God would raise up a spiritual house in David's honor. David wanted to build God a temple, and God said, "Gonna build you a house." And of course, when you follow that line and that lineage there in Matthew's gospel and Luke's gospel, who came from David's line? The Lord Jesus. Right? Y'all with me? Y'all following with me? This is one of the greatest promises that fulfilled Old Testament prophecy, all of those Old Testament prophecies, and it's found in Jesus, who is King of kings forever and ever, and He will sit upon His father David's throne. Whew! And that's exactly what Nathan told David. And so when you have a dream, and it doesn't quite pan out like you thought it was going to, and you've shared it with the Lord, just be patient. Because God's got something bigger and better. Isn't that a good word for us tonight? Because we've all had dreams, and we've all had aspirations, and we've all had these things in our mind, you know, that some of them would have brought God great praise and honor, but God said, "No, no, not right now, not yet. I'm going to do something else." And then you found out that it was far better than your plan ever was. Right? Woo! So let's look at David. Now, how would David respond? Let's look at David's prayer. 2 Samuel 7, verse 18. "Then the king went in and sat before the Lord." And so you get the picture there. David comes down off the throne, and he gets down on his hands and knees, and he begins to pray. And he says, "Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that you have brought me this far? And yet this was a small thing in your sight, O Lord God. And you've also spoken of your servant's house for a great while to come. Is this the manner of man, O Lord God? Now what more can David say to you? For you, Lord God, know your servant. For your word's sake and according to your own heart, you've done all these great things to make your servant know them. Therefore, you are great, O Lord God. For there is none like you, nor is there any God beside you, according to all that we have heard with our ears." This prayer of David continues all the way to the end of the chapter. And there's not one note of bitterness in David's prayer. As a matter of fact, he not only harbors no resentment, he just steps down off of his throne and begins to pray one of the greatest prayers of praise ever heard in the Bible. It's a fabulous prayer. And he starts off with praise, and then he acknowledges who he is in light of who God is. And he goes on to praise God for his works. Look at verse 23. "And who is like your people, like Israel, the one nation on the earth, whom God went to redeem for Himself as a people, to make for Himself a name, and to do for yourself great and awesome deeds for your land, before your people, whom you redeemed for yourself from Egypt, the nations and their gods. For you have made your people Israel your very own people forever, and you, Lord, have become their God. Now, O Lord God, the word which you have spoken concerning your servant and concerning his house, establish it forever and do as you have said. And so he begins to give God praise for who God is and who he is in light of God. And then he moves from praise to petition. And he says, okay, Lord, I get it. You go ahead and do what you want to do for your great honor and your great glory. This is why David is a man after God's own heart. Yeah, he made some horrible mistakes. Yes, he stepped over the line and committed some terrible sin. But overall, when it's all said and done, David is a man after God's own heart, and you see it right here. Glory to his name. And so he's do you understand what David's doing here now? Now this is going to help you in your prayer life. I said this is going to help you in your prayer life. Are you ready? Now, O Lord God, verse 25, the word which you have spoken concerning your servant, concerning his house, establish it forever and do as you have said. So let your name be magnified forever, saying the Lord of hosts is the God over Israel. And let the house of your servant David be established before you. For you, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, have revealed this to your servant, saying, I'll build you a house. Therefore your servant has found it in his heart to pray this prayer to you. And now, O Lord God, your God, and your words are true, and you promised this goodness to your servant. Now therefore, let it please you to bless the house of your servant, that it may continue before you forever. For you, O Lord God, have spoken it, and with your blessing let the house of your servant be blessed forever. When you find one of God's promises in the Bible, pray it back to Him. Y'all, I worked hard to get that. When you run across the promises of God in His Word, when you pray that promise back to God, what are you going to get? You're going to get an answer to your prayer. You're going to get what you prayed for. Because God is a promise-keeping God. And so that's what I mean about when there's promises in the Scripture, claim those promises, and then just, this is not even a good word, but just remind God what He said. And said, Lord, your word says you would supply all of my need according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Lord, your word says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Lord, your word says that I can trust in you with all of my heart. Your word says that if I'll acknowledge you, that you would direct my path. Your word says this and your word says that. When we remind God and claim those promises and pray them back to Him, I'll double dog guarantee you, you're going to get what you prayed for. That was worth coming for tonight right there. Whew. So, how are you going to know the promises of God? There's Billy Walker rearing his head again. One surefire way of getting your prayers answered. Although God wasn't going to allow David to build the house, guess who was going to get to build it? His boy Solomon. Now, God even explained to David. God's so good. He even explained to David. Turn with me. Why he wasn't going to let him build the house. You want to get this? Go to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 22. 1 Chronicles 22. Verse 6. 1 Chronicles 22:6. Then he called for his son Solomon and charged him to build a house for the Lord God of Israel. And David said to Solomon, my son, as for me, it was in my mind to build a house to the name of the Lord my God, but the word of the Lord came to me saying, you have shed much blood and have made great wars. You shall not build a house for my name because you've shed much blood on the earth in my sight. Behold, a son shall be born to you, who shall be a man of rest. And I'll give him rest from all his enemies all around. His name shall be Solomon. And by the way, do you know what the name Solomon means? The root word is shalom. Peace. Solomon was a man of peace. And was during his reign as king, he never was at war with anyone. With another nation. His name shall be Solomon, for I will give peace and quietness to Israel in his days. He shall build a house for my name, and he shall be my son, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. David was a man of war. He had spilled much blood. And Solomon would be a man of peace. And so he would be allowed to build the temple. David accepted it and helped his son Solomon right up until the time of his death. You may not know why God said no right now, but our God's so good, he'll even let you know later on why he did what he did, and you'll be able to see it. You'll understand and agree that God did things the right way in the right time. How many of you know God's timing is perfect? It's perfect. And he never makes mistakes. And he'll give you the credit if it's your dream. Many, many years ago, I remember my daddy, we were all, me and the girls, were living there on Crestwood Drive, and I was young, and I remember my dad sitting around the dinner table. He had a dream. And he would share his dreams with us. And one of those dreams was that First Baptist Clarksville would have a young couples class. First Baptist didn't have any couples classes. And how do I say this nicely? That wasn't the kosher thing to do in Baptist life back then. Okay? Yeah, because men ought to teach men and women ought to teach women. Okay? But Dad went to Brother Lida, and it wasn't long before they started the first couples class at First Baptist Clarksville. How many of y'all were in Mom and Dad's couples class? Here's one. There's two back here. And you know how many couples classes they have over there now? You know, Mike? It's a bunch. And it's the reason First Baptist is still together, because they've got great Sunday school classes. And then another night, not long after that, after he got the couples class going, that was his dream. He had another dream that he wanted to share with us. And he said, "Kids, what would y'all think if we were to have a place where poor people could come and get their teeth checked out and get a physical done? They could see a doctor and see a dentist. Wouldn't that be a good idea?" And we all said, "Oh yeah, Daddy, that's a good idea." And the Good Samaritan was born. And Dad was able to, you know, get that thing rolling. And I want to tell you what, I guarantee he's smiling. If you can see down what's going on here in heaven, he is smiling. I talk to Jim Brannon, Dr. Jim Brannon, every now and then. He's a dentist over there. He volunteers and serves. And Jim has led countless people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Sitting there in that dentist chair in front of him. And so, you dream those dreams. And if they're what God wants you to do, he'll bring it to pass. And if not, he'll do something even greater for his honor and praise and glory. Well, anyways, they've helped a lot of poor folks over the years who couldn't get the care that they needed. And it's a wonderful ministry. And I didn't come here tonight to brag on my daddy. I came here to brag on Jesus. And he's the one that deserves anything good that we do, it's Jesus. Anything that happens that's good in our life, it's Jesus. He's the only one that can turn an old, nasty, dirty, hell-bound heart around and turn it into something good. Aren't y'all thankful for him tonight? Lord, we appreciate your time here this evening. Thank you for blessing us. And I just thank you, Lord, that you're still the dream weaver. You are still placing your purposes and your plans on our hearts. God, I believe there's somebody in this room tonight that has a big dream. It's going to bring you great praise and honor and glory. And I pray, God, that you would give them more faith to step out into that river of God's blessing. And that you would accomplish all that you want to in your name. Thank you, Lord, that we can look forward to serving in and around that house that you built through your servant David. We're going to reign and rule with you on this earth from the great city of God. Thank you, Lord, for your promises. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.